it's time for Food Friday. With summer in full swing, there's no better time to head to your favorite campsite for a day, a weekend, or maybe longer. But just because you're roughing it doesn't mean your meals should suffer. After all, why settle for hot dogs and marshmallows when you could have fire-cooked steak or tiramisu French toast? Emma Frisch is the co-founder and culinary director of Firelight Camps, a glamping destination in Ithaca, New York. Her new book is Feast by Firelight, simple recipes for camping, cabins, and the great outdoors. Emma, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Judah.
So, first of all, for people who don't know what glamping is, can you describe that for us?
Sure. Glamping is a word that is mashed up from glamorous and camping. And in the shortest sense, it's basically arriving at a campsite that's already set up for you. There's different levels of how well set up it is. For example, at Firelight Camps, which we have here in Ithaca, we have king and queen beds that are, you know, have plush bedding and fully furnished safari tents. And a full-service bar and other amenities for glampers to enjoy.
So more than roughing it, it's more like sleeping en plein air, maybe.
That's a good way to put it.
Well, of course, if you're going to, you know, kind of have that slightly more luxurious experience outdoors, it makes sense that the food that you would be making would be a step up, too. And so you make the case that camp cooking can and should be more than just roasting hot dogs and marshmallows over a fire. But you really love that over a fire part. What is it about cooking outdoors and eating outdoors that's so special for you?
So my background is actually, I was trained as a backcountry guide and I was a rock climber for years. And so I had this experience cooking in really rugged situations where often you just throw together a fire and put a grate over it or not, just put something on a stick and cook it. And then, you know, fast forward now to this glamping scenario, which is an upscale camping experience. The fire still continues to be this place where no matter what, no matter where you come from or who you are or how you're getting outside, it just brings you back to this really primal state that's deep inside all of us. Because creating that campfire is an ancient human tradition. It's something that's unique to humans. And cooking over fire infuses the food with this taste of smoke that I think all of us have in our bones. And, you know, I've never met anyone who doesn't like something that's been smoked or grilled. So I think that's what it is for me. That's what really has drawn me in, is just seeing the ability to have people connect with themselves, each other, and nature, and the source of who we are and what we eat, which is, you know, this very special experience.
Well, and you say it's really an opportunity to fine-tune our senses when we're cooking and eating outdoors. Why do you think it has that ability?
Yeah, well, when we're cooking outdoors, we don't have gadgets and actually, I do recommend you make a thermometer for cooking meat, but it's not the same as cooking in an oven where you turn a dial or you sous vide and set a temperature and let it be. It's really about paying attention to what's happening to the cooking source, so the heat, even if you're using a camp stove, the heat will vary based on how much wind there is. Looking at, you know, how hot the fire is based on the color of the coals, using your hand to sense the heat of the fire by just holding it above. So, and your nose, I mean, there's one recipe for cornbread, which really, the way that you know the cornbread is done in the Dutch oven is by smelling it. So you're so present and tuned into the process of cooking when you're cooking outside that I don't think happens when you're in the kitchen.
Obviously, camping can mean a whole lot of different things to different people. It might be a weekend at a local state park with small kids in tow, or it could be a week or more, you know, backpacking into the North Woods of Wisconsin. Do you find that your food approach varies based on the kind of trip you're taking and who you're going to be with?
Yes, I definitely think that the food approach will vary. And actually, in my book, there's menu planners in the back to help people and guide them towards what kind of weekend they're having. So if they're doing a backcountry trip and they want to pack really light, there's a menu for that. If it's with family and they're car camping, then there's a menu for that with kid-friendly recipes. So it definitely varies, and I think that's the trickiest part of cooking outside is planning and packing. And so that's what I really try to do in this book, is set people up for success so that once they're outside, no matter what kind of trip, it'll be seamless and fun and feel like there's not a lot to do.
We're talking with Emma Frisch right now. She's the co-founder and culinary director of Firelight Camps. It's a glamping destination in Ithaca, New York. And we're talking about her new book, which is Feast by Firelight, Simple Recipes for Camping, Cabins, and the Great Outdoors. I think one of the challenges, Emma, is not just figuring out what you want to eat and bringing the actual food ingredients, but having the things you need to prepare them. And so what are some good lessons or tips or a checklist of what we should think about bringing with us so we can successfully cook the food that we brought?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I do have a section called the Essential Outdoor Kitchen, which lists all the different tools and servingware and pots and pans that people would need. Although what I really suggest is that people first choose their recipes and then determine what equipment they need for those recipes and then create their list. And often it's a lot smaller than what they think they need. So, and I'm a huge advocate of having, of less is more, especially in the backcountry. But, you know, at its most basic, a good knife, tongs, a spatula, a grill grate, if you don't have one, or if there isn't one at the campground, and dishware. Because really, if you're preparing things in advance and you have it ready to go, you can just throw it on the grill and that's all you need.
And it seems like in our kitchens, not that I would be speaking about myself, of course, but there is an attraction to lots of gadgets. And it's fun to have the gadget that does exactly this one thing. And it's fun to use those. But it seems like the opposite would be true when you're packing up to do your cooking outdoors. You want tools, not gadgets, that actually maybe are multi-purpose and can be used in several different ways.
Definitely. I think part of, you know, especially with the camping world, there's so much consumerism around it. And I'm a total gear junkie, so I get it. It's fun to have the most up-to-date equipment and a great camp stove. But really, when you're outside, you don't really need new shiny things. You want to use things that are very functional and rugged and purposeful and, like you said, can serve multiple purposes. But there are, you know, there's a few things that are worth bringing. If you're cooking on a grill, then a charcoal chimney is a good idea. It's good to have a solid camp stove. So there's a few things that you want to invest in, but other things like pots and pans. I mean, I have a cast iron that I've been using for 15 years that I bring. If people want to bring something that's lighter weight, they can bring the pan that is the most banged up in their kitchen because it'll probably get more banged up and just use that.
It's Food Friday, and we're feasting by firelight with Emma Frisch. She's sharing some ideas for creating easy gourmet meals from the comfort of your campsite, whether you're deep in the backwoods or just in your backyard. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What kinds of meals do you make on camping trips? Do you have a go-to dish that blows away your fellow campers? How do you get your gourmet on when space and packing is at a premium? And do you prefer camp cooking on the grill or right over the fire? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. It's Food Friday, and we're talking this week about camp cooking with Emma Frisch. Emma's the author of Feast by Firelight, Simple Recipes for Camping, Cabins, and the Great Outdoors. And we want your recipes and questions, too. The number to call is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What dish just tastes better when it's cooked at a campsite? What are your camp cooking hacks, especially when you're packing light? And what does camp cooking mean to you? Is it more than just hot dogs and marshmallows, or are you fine with those standards? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. And Emma, you know, there are plenty of ways you can cook while camping. Some people like to bring their own propane grills or even a small charcoal grill. Others cook right on the campfire itself. Do you have a preferred method? What are the pros and cons?
It really varies where I am, but I think my preferred method is over the campfire because you can just do so much. You can rake coals to one side and bake potatoes and foil right in the coals, while on the other side you're grilling steak or honey coriander pork chops over hotter flames. It sort of serves all those purposes, and you get that campfire feel where everyone's gathered around and cooking and celebrating together.
And one of the things you talk about is doing some prep work at home, and so taking things that are kind of halfway ready or ready to put on the fire. Zach on Facebook said he likes to find a good tortilla soup mix. Then he makes it extra thick and puts it on tortillas with cheese. So that's kind of that idea. You're starting with kind of a ready-made or partially made main ingredient.
Definitely. I'm a huge proponent of that. I love prepping at home, and it can be as simple as slicing vegetables and putting them in a Ziploc with olive oil, salt, and pepper. But that way you're not carting everything outside and spending that time prepping outside, and it's just ready to go. Especially because when you're outside, you're often hiking, canoeing, doing something active, and you're hungry. And, the process of cooking can take a while when you're getting coals to light and doing all those things to set yourself up.
It's kind of the vacation equivalent of coming home after a long day of work and having to get dinner on the table.
Right? Exactly. And of course, you should have some cheese and wine and beer and all that stuff ready to go while the zucchini's cooking or whatever you have. But yes, it is very much that approach.
Well, I want to talk about breakfast because I'm a huge breakfast fan, indoors, outdoors, anytime, anywhere. Dan on Facebook said he loves to grill meats over the fire using a tripod grill. And he also says that bacon, eggs, and sauteed veggies in an iron skillet are his breakfast favorites. And you have a lot of breakfast suggestions. And one that we have the recipe for up at WPR.org/Food Friday is tiramisu French toast with strawberries. I have to say, Emma, that is not something I think most people would think of as camp cooking. They would think of that as fancy brunch outing.
Definitely. Yeah. And the picture in the book feels like fancy brunch outing too. So that one I had to put in because it's so easy. French toast in general is easy. And when you do it with a baguette, it absorbs all the liquid. So you don't end up with all this extra egg custard. And the tiramisu part is pre-whipped at home. It's basically espresso and honey and mascarpone. And you just put it back in the container that you bought it in and bring it in, to your campsite with the bread and egg mixture, which you can make at home as well, and some fresh strawberries or freeze-dried strawberries if you don't have fresh ones, and put it together. So it's actually one of the easiest recipes, but it just feels so luxurious, especially for kids. And you can leave the espresso out of the topping as well if kids are eating it.
Wow. What are some of your other favorites? That sounds amazing. What about some egg dishes that might be a really great hearty protein-rich dish to get you started for an active day out in the woods?
Yeah, well, one of my favorites is very simple, which is bird in a nest. And people know it as toad in a hole and spit in the eye. But basically, you use a small mouth ball jar to cut a hole out of a beautiful slab of bread. And then you cook the egg inside that hole on a pan. And then I top it with avocado and honey, which is a really interesting combination. It's so good. We actually make this almost every morning for our family. My 2-year-old loves it. And for adults, we put some chili flakes on too, just to give it a little bit of pizzazz.
And you mentioned in the book, that just reminded me, that one of the great things about traveling somewhere and then camping is that on the way you can pick things up from either farm stands or local honey producers. And that's a really great way to get a very, very local taste.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and honey is such a great thing to have around because, I don't know about you, but my grandma was a believer in putting it on all scrapes and wounds, and you can even use it as a face mask, but it's also good for just boosting the immune system and fighting local allergies. So it's kind of like this cure-all food that you can keep in your kit.
Let's go to the phones, and Heather in Madison is up. Hi, Heather.
Hi.
Hi. What do you like to make when you're camping?
It has to do with eggs, too. We bring a cast iron skillet and cook eggs in purgatory, or it's called shakshuka, over the fire.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love shakshuka.
Yeah. So we do like peppers and onions sauteed up to make it a little spicy, and then add in some tomato sauce, and then poach the eggs in it and serve with some grilled bread.
Oh, man. I bet you have people coming from campsites all around when they get a whiff of that.
My husband usually eats it pretty quickly, so I don't know if they
can. That sounds amazing.
Thanks for that call, Heather. And Emma, it seems like that would be a great one because the eggs are in that, you know, really great saucy kind of stew that even if the fire was maybe a little hotter or not as hot as you expected, it wouldn't have any kind of bad effect on it.
Exactly. And that you could even make for dinner. You could put it over rice or, you know, any kind of grain. I mean, that's just such a great hearty dish.
Oh, I'm hungry now. Let's go next to Mark in Three Lakes. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to know if you guys know about keyhole fires.
I will defer to Emma on that. Emma, are you familiar with a keyhole fire?
Is that where there's a cross in a piece in a log that then you burn?
No, that's you make a keyhole like the old skeleton key. You build your fire on the outside and you put your cooking grate where the square notch is. You put your grate over it. This is what I use. I cook for like 14 people at a crack.
Wow.
So you got to keep the fire hot. And you got your fire going on one side and you're cooking on the other side. And you rake the hot coals under your kettle in order to keep them warm or cook your eggs or bacon or whatever you wish.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That sounds amazing. I'd love to come eat with you at some point.
Well, and that, I mean, cooking for 14 people, that's a lot. You probably cook for large crowds pretty often too, huh, Emma?
I do, yeah. I'm actually pregnant with our second baby, so this summer I've taken a little bit of a pause. But, yeah, sometimes up to 30 people at our campsite.
Wow. I want to come to your campsite and have you cook for me.
We would love to have you visit.
Well, I don't want to let you go before we talk desserts. And, I think there's some really classic ones like cobblers cooked in a Dutch oven or a fire. Of course, there are s'mores. But what are some good sweet options to consider?
Ooh, well, one of my favorites, and this is top of mind right now because it's cherry season here in New York, is a cherry bourbon fool, which is basically whipped cream that you make by shaking the cream in a ball jar with a marble, or I just say a pebble that you can find and clean, and you shake it until it turns into cream. It's so fun, and kids love doing it too. And then you whip in some bourbon and cherries and a few other ingredients to make it sweet, and it's just, it's so, so good, so easy, so summer. And then, you know, there's other recipes for cooking over the campfire if you want to get more involved. But one of my favorites is the molten lava campfire brownies in orange cups, which is basically a brownie batter cooked in oranges that have been scooped out and then put back to sliced in half, scooped out, put back together and wrapped in foil. And then you put those in the coals.
Wow.
And you just eat it out with a spoon and it's just, so good.
That sounds amazing. Well, on Facebook, Carol said she likes to make banana boats. And she says you make a slit on the inside curve of a banana. You stuff that with chocolate chips, mini marshmallows and nuts. You wrap it in tin foil and then you set it at the edge of the fire or in the coals, as you were just saying with your orange chocolate brownies, until gooey and eat with a spoon. And it seems like both of those have one of the great advantages of no dishes after.
Yep, that's the goal.
And what about, I mean, s'mores are great. You know, it's hard to mess with a classic, but are there ways to kind of fancy up or glamp up our s'mores?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, we have a yoga retreat at our glamp site at Firelight Camps this weekend, and they've been making, so we have homemade s'more kits that we offer, and there's sweet mint growing around one of the ponds on our site, and they've actually been putting the mint in with a s'more, so you get this like refreshing chocolate mint flavor. So I would say if anybody has mint leaves, they could just try adding a mint leaf into their s'more and see what that tastes like. But there's all sorts of, you know, you can put some like fresh preserves on a s'more to add some fruit to it or fresh fruit. and just kind of kick it up a notch.
Wow, that sounds delicious. Well, Emma, it sounds like you have really gotten the camp cooking down, but I'm curious if there's a dish that you've really wanted to transform into a camping dish that just hasn't quite worked out the way you wish it would.
Well, those will probably be in the next book. But one recipe that I was so stuck on trying to create is a skewer that has chicken and pineapple on it, because the combo of pineapple and grilled chicken is incredible, except that pineapple breaks down chicken when it touches chicken.
Oh, because it's so acidic?
Exactly, yeah. And it's just this weird texture. So I did a million different kinds of tests to see how we could make that work, and I haven't quite nailed it, but at some point, there will be grilled pineapple and grilled chicken together in one dish over the campfire.
well, we'll follow along and see if that works. So you do most of your work at your business in Ithaca, New York, but do you ever take it on the road?
I do sometimes, yeah. I mostly, for cooking with friends and getaways, and sometimes doing small events or live cooking demos at festivals.
Great.
This month we'll be doing a feast from the book at a cider house here in Ithaca, which is this beautiful setting overlooking a huge lake, and it'll be a multi-course experience taking people through the book, and they'll actually be eating around the campfire as well.
Wow. Well, maybe you can bring it to Wisconsin sometime.
That would be so fun. I'd love to visit.
Well, Emma, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Emma Frisch is the co-founder and culinary director of Firelight Camps. It's a glamping destination in Ithaca, New York. Her new book is Feast by Firelight, Simple Recipes for Camping, Cabins, and the Great Outdoors. You can find the recipes we talked about today, including tiramisu French toast and also a fire-licked skirt steak with salsa verde on WPR.org.